kid, or maybe Tom Cruise. We've got... Oh, hello! Welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. My name is Gabe, and I know your English will improve today. Now, I was just thinking about some of my favorite actors. I love Tom Hanks. I like Brad Pitt. Who is your favorite actor? Do you enjoy learning about where they are from and their background? Well, have you heard of a guy named Eddie Redmayne? Eddie Redmayne, that's the name of our lesson. We're learning all about this amazing actor. And today we'll learn about his background and how he got into acting. Okay, we've got two sections to look at today. The first is family support. Yes, it's important to have your family's support in whatever you do. And the second section is give it a year. Give it a year? What does that mean? We're going to talk about that as well. So, let's get started. Here we go.
Eddie Redmayne, a fantastic actor, and where he came from. He's won all the most esteemed acting awards of stage and screen. But Eddie Redmayne's profession doesn't exactly come naturally. Family support. Everyone else in my family does proper jobs, says Redmayne, leaving himself and others wondering just how he inherited the acting gene. But while his family may not share his talent, they recognized his and encouraged him to take drama lessons. So, with this support, he muddled into acting in school, eventually being cast as Viola in a Globe Theater production of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night while in university.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 这篇文章的第一个重点我们来看 esteemed 这个形容词。esteemed 原本是 esteem, E-S-T-E-E-M, 尊敬这个动词的过去分词。当形容词是指受尊敬的或者是受敬重的。例如 Professor Higgins is one of the world's most esteemed experts in artificial intelligence. Higgins 教授是全世界人工智慧方面最受敬重的专家之一。或者是 Ricky landed a job at an esteemed law firm not long after graduation. Ricky 毕业没多久后就在一家很有声望的律师事务所中得到了一份邮差。其实我们看 muddle 这个动词， muddle 在这里是指使混乱或搞混，是一个不及物动词。例如 Tim and his twin brother Thomas look exactly alike. People muddle them up all the time. Tim 和双胞胎弟弟 Thomas 长得一模一样，人们常常把他们弄混。课文中的 muddle into 是指迷迷糊糊的进入。例如 Rita never liked dressing up when she was little, but she muddled into the fashion business and eventually became a supermodel. Rita 小时候从来都不喜欢打扮，她糊里糊涂的进了时尚圈，最后还变成了超级名模。
Are you ready?
Ready for what?
Ready for Eddie Redmayne.
Of course, I've been waiting all month for
really?
This particular lesson.
Is that because he's the handsome-looking actor on the front of our magazine?
Ah, Gabe, that is exactly right. No, I just am looking forward to talking about Eddie Redmayne.
Well, I am glad, Rebecca, because he is a fantastic actor.And I just found out about him after watching Les Mis, the musical version with Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway. He also starred in this movie. Well, friends, in case you're not sure what Eddie Redmayne looks like, he is on your magazine, and he has already won an Oscar. Now, Eddie Redmayne is also famous for the movie The Theory of Everything. Rebecca, have you seen that movie?
Gabe.No, I haven't.
You need to see The Theory of Everything.
Is it scary?
No.
Okay. No. Okay, great. If it's not scary, then I just might be interested in seeing that movie.
It's not scary. It's about the physicist Stephen Hawking, and he plays Stephen Hawking in this movie. Friends, you should watch it as well. This is the movie he won an Oscar for.
Wow. Well, our lesson does say he's, referring to Eddie Redmayne, he's won all the most esteemed acting awards of stage and screen. But Eddie Redmayne's profession doesn't exactly come naturally. Now, did you know that, Gabe?
What?
So Eddie Redmayne, he's won all these awards.
Mm-hmm.
So he seems like a very natural actor, doesn't he?
Right. So I'm a little surprised when our lesson says that his profession doesn't come naturally. Well, what does this phrase mean, to come naturally? That means it's natural for you to do something. For example, different things come naturally to different people. I'm not very good at organizing things. I'm not a very organizational person. But organizational skills come naturally to our friend Stephanie.
Oh, yes. Stephanie definitely is very organized. Guess what, Gabe? I'm actually not naturally a very organized person.
Yeah, I know.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm just kidding.
It just takes extra work and practice. Here's another example. Now, my brother and I, we both used to be on a swim team when we were younger. Swimming came very naturally for my brother. He wouldn't even have to go to swim practice and he'd get all these medals and awards. For me, on the other hand, I had to go to practice every single day if I wanted to improve. It didn't come as naturally for me.
That's right. Now, if it doesn't come naturally for you, that doesn't mean you won't ever be good at it. Some people just need to work harder on a certain skill, whereas for other people, it really does come naturally. On the other hand, just because something comes naturally for you doesn't mean you don't need to work on it. Everybody needs to work on improving their skills.
I know some people taking tests comes very naturally for them. However, I would still encourage those people to study for their tests.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move along with our lesson to family support. Everyone else in my family does proper jobs, says Redmayne, leaving himself and others wondering just how he inherited the acting gene.
Yes.
Inherited the acting gene.
The acting gene. Okay, mm-hmm. So if it doesn't run in the family, I guess there really is no acting gene. Now, the acting gene, that's just his way of saying, well, if his family was also actors, then it comes in the family, or it runs in the family. There's an acting gene, right? Now, let's take a look at this phrase, to run in the family. Rebecca, what does this mean?
I'm so glad that you asked. If something runs in the family, like a skill, or sometimes diseases can run in the family, that just means that the family will most likely inherit that particular disease or skill.
Wow, those are two very different things. I'd prefer to inherit a good skill.
Right, yeah. But you can say that there are certain diseases that run in the family.
That's
certain
true.
Certain skills that run in the family. Intelligence runs in the family.
Yes, it's true. Maybe a sense of humor runs in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I have a similar sense of humor to my parents, or at least my dad. That sense of humor runs in the family. A lot of my siblings share his sense of humor as well.
That's right. Well, right now, it's time for a little challenge. It's time for the SC Challenge.
Yes. Okay, please tell us your name.
Albert.
Yes, Albert is back. Okay, today we are learning about the very talented actor Eddie Redmayne, who kind of muddled into this skill. So he kind of got started not really having a goal of becoming a famous actor, but he found out he was good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Has something like that ever happened to you, Albert, where you started doing something for no real reason, but then you found out that you're actually pretty good at it?
Oh my gosh.
That's a good question, right?
Yeah, it is a very good question.
I know what Albert's good at. He's good at laughing.
Thank you, Gabe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. That's a really good question. It's a challenging question.
Let me ask you, because I know that you are good at kind of doing interviews and you kind of you enjoy talking to people. Do you mm-hmm. think that that's something that you would like to do for the rest of your life?
I feel like that's something I would enjoy doing for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, though, I want to say cooking.
What? You cook?
Not really.
Oh.
But But, you know, it's kind of simple. It's really easy. For me, for the longest time, cooking was always, like, mysterious.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But if you just follow some simple steps, you can make a delicious meal.
It's true. You know what I find cooking is really great, too? I love to cook pao mian. Is that the kind of cooking you're talking about, like instant noodles?
Oh, no, no. See, I'm really good at cooking anything with the word microwavable on it.
Oh, so anything that you can put in the microwave?
Yes, yes. But no, seriously, it's a great way to spend time with friends and family. It's a really good moment to bond, just, you know, learning how to cook and cooking together.
Hey, maybe I should start cooking as well, or at least eating some of Albert's cooking.
Yeah, you guys can do some cooking together. Okay, well, we have another question for you.
Okay.
What's your favorite Eddie Redmayne role? And why?
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne.
Can you remind me who he is?
Eddie Redmayne, yeah, he's the star of our lesson today. And did you ever see The Theory of Everything?
Yes, that was a really good movie. Is he the leading actor?
That's him. Can you please tell me what you liked about his role in that movie?
Well, he plays this brilliant genius, Stephen Hawking, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's like an incredible transformation because you can't recognize that it's him in the movie.
So perhaps we just discovered your favorite role that Eddie has ever played.
Probably, yeah. I think that's the only movie I've seen him in. But I'm sorry, what was the question?
Well, exactly. Your favorite Eddie Redmayne role. And that was a good answer. And it was a well-deserved Oscar that Eddie Redmayne got for that role as well. Well, friends, that is all the time we have. We'll see you next time for the SU Challenge. Hello, and welcome back to Studio Classroom. I hope you enjoy learning about actors and where they came from, because we're learning all about Eddie Redmayne today. Now, I hope you're getting more familiar with his name, because he has won an Oscar for his performance in the movie The Theory of Everything. He did a fantastic job. So we learned about how acting doesn't really run in the family for him. All of his relatives and his family, they have proper jobs. They're not actors. So how did he begin acting? Well, that's what we're talking about. Let's continue with our next section called Give It a Year. What does Give It a Year mean? We're going to find out.
Eddie Redmayne, Give It a Year. After university, where he studied art history, Redmayne decided to take an insecure step into the acting world for a single year. I'm someone who likes clarity, some sense of structure, and yet I've ended up in this crazy existence, he said. In that first year, however, he received attention and newcomer awards for his work on the British stage. A few years later, his performance in Red gave him both an Olivier and a Tony to place on his shelf as well.
Alright, 继续我们看的是 insecure 这个形容词 IN 是否定的字首 secure 是指安全的或牢固的 所以 insecure 是指没有保障的 或者是冒险的 例如 expanding our overseas market might be an insecure move but it's crucial to our company 扩充海外市场或许是个冒险的行动 但是对公司而言是绝对必要的 insecure 也指没有安全感的 例如 Eileen is insecure about her marriage because of her parents. Eileen 对婚姻缺乏安全感是受到父母的影响。最后我们看的是 clarity 这个不可数名词 C-L-A-R 这个字根有清楚明白的意思。所以 clarity 是指清楚、清晰或者是有条理。例如 The thesis was written with clarity and it's easy to understand. 这份论文写的思路清晰，非常容易看懂。 Clarity 也指质地的纯净，例如 I was very impressed by the clarity of the singer's voice. 这位歌手纯净的歌声让我印象深刻。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Well, now it's time for us to talk about the next section called Give It a Year. But before we actually talk about that section, let's talk about that phrase, give it, and then there is a time after that. For example, let's say you're at a job, or, you know, yeah, a job situation would be a good example, and you're kind of debating whether or not you feel like you should try a new job. You could say, well, just give it another 3 months. If things don't change, then maybe you should try something new.
Ah, very nice. So give it a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're allowing yourself some time before you make a final decision about something. So the text is give it a year. Maybe the idea is that he's going to give it a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to experiment with acting for a year before he decides if he should stay with acting or move on to something else. And Rebecca, you're right. I usually think of jobs or careers when I use this
mm-hmm.
phrase. So maybe someone might say, hey, come work with us. Give it a month anyway. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else.
That's right. Or let's say that you're trying to grow some plants. Do you ever grow plants?
Oh, no, Rebecca.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, the plants always die if I ever try to grow.
Okay, well, let's say that you're trying to grow some plants. And you
uh-huh.
put the seeds in the dirt. And then a week goes by, and they still haven't grown. Maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You could say, just give it another 2 or 3 weeks. If the plants still don't grow, then you may have to start over.
Okay, very good example. Friends, think of another way you can use this phrase. We're continuing here, learning about Eddie Redmayne. We read, after university, where he studied art history, Redmayne decided to take an insecure step into the acting world for a single year. So, this is a very different career. He studied art history, and acting, well, it's a kind of art, but it's not art history.
No, it really doesn't have anything to do with art history. But I really like how they talk about Redmayne decided to take an insecure step into the acting world for a single year. And that reminds me of a very useful phrase. Uncharted waters.
Oh, I like that phrase, uncharted waters. But Rebecca, why is the word waters in this phrase?
Why is the word waters?
Yeah, what is uncharted waters?
Okay, so uncharted waters refers to a situation that is unknown and may be dangerous. It doesn't actually refer to going to the ocean or to a pool or to a sea. It could refer to any dangerous situation or unknown situation. So, for example, some people might say that moving to another country is kind of like entering into uncharted waters. They don't know what to expect. It could be a little scary and unknown.
Anytime you step out of your comfort zone to
mm-hmm.
try something new, you could say that you're entering uncharted waters, right? And I think that everybody should challenge themselves to do this every once in a while, to try something new. When I first started teaching here at Studio Classroom, it certainly was uncharted waters for me. And I had a lot to learn. So what is uncharted waters for you? So Eddie Redmayne, perhaps he says it's insecure, right? He was taking an insecure step into the world of acting. So we could say that he was entering uncharted waters.
That's right. And he says, I'm someone who likes clarity, some sense of structure, and yet I've ended up in this crazy existence. Definitely uncharted waters.
Okay, let's go back to the, or down to the last sentence of our lesson today. A few years later, his performance in Red gave him both an Olivier and a Tony to place on his shelf as well. So we're learning about how amazing he is as an actor, and he's already won several awards. Friends, we have more to learn with Steve and Ken about Shakespeare in the Info Cloud.
A cliché is defined as a figure of speech, a ready-made phrase that is worn out by overuse. You know, some say cliches are written yawns that tell readers the author has no originality.
English writers are often told to avoid cliches like the plague because they're boring, predictable, and unable to convey anything meaningful.
Maybe, but they didn't start out like that. Clichés always begin their life as fresh expressions that describe things in a new and interesting way.
William Shakespeare was, of course, a master of inventing new English expressions, many of which are still widely used today. Phrases like vanished into thin air and wear your heart on your sleeve.
Now, when Shakespeare created those phrases, they were lively and exciting. Over the past 400 years, though, they've become old and stale. They've become clichés.
But in this day and age, is it really such a sin to use a Shakespearean cliché or any cliché in our writing?
True. Although English teachers place a very high value on creativity and thinking outside the box, it can be argued that including an occasional, well-placed cliché just might make your writing the best thing since sliced bread.
不知道你是否有注意到刚才我和Steve的对话当中用了好几个惯用语，不知道你是不是都听得出来，把这些惯用语记下来，而且迫不及待地想要用在你的英文作文里头。其实英文的惯用语跟中文的成语很不一样，中文的成语是文字的精华，大多数的成语是来自优美古老的诗词，它的背后更有不同的典故和故事。 正确的使用成语是一种艺术，也能够显示你的博学。但英文的惯用语呢就不一样咯。虽然有一些惯用语的出处是Shakespeare，莎士比亚，但经过了数百年的使用，原本很具创意的词汇变成了cliché，陈腔滥调。也有些惯用语是俚语，那是非正式的语言，我们写作的时候最好避免使用。 若是要用的话呢，也要斟酌的用，因为英文写作所看重的是个人的观点和创新。这就是今天的 Info Cloud，我们下次云端见。Well,
friends, that is all the time we have for today, but I believe we have more to learn about Eddie Redmayne
tomorrow. So make sure you join us right here on Studio Classroom.